Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. Sitting in a sleazy snack bar, sucking on sickly sausage rolls, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The counter-attack is back with Manchester United. Declan Rice scored his first career goal, and Rio Ferdinand said some silly things. Welcome to the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you here, Peter. What was that reference to at the start?
I believe it was Fog on the Tyne, Marcus. Can sausage rolls be sickly?
Depends
on what you put on them, what they're laced with.
Should you suck on them?
Sucking on? No. I think it's just the alliteration that's caused them to do that.
If you pop into Greg's and you see a man, you know, throttling a sausage roll,
it is likely to be Gazza.
It's not right. You get to say, look, I respect your patronage. But please get out of this Greggs.
Is that one of those vegan ones? Because Piers Morgan's going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. Well, apparently, Greggs and Piers Morgan are represented by the same PR company. Oh. So.
They had some dealings.
This is InfoWars. This is InfoWars.
Jimmy Campbell there.
They're turning the sausage rolls gay.
Buy these supplements. Please buy this survival pack.
I bought some, what's that David Gandhi sponsored vitamin pack?
I don't know.
Well man. Yeah.
I usually buy like.
It sounds like Gazza would say. The start of a story.
I usually buy little little child vitamins that are all gummy and I eat them and I was like, nom, nom,
like
nom,
sweets.
Yeah, they're like sweets. And it's kept me cold free for most of the year. And in London, that's a bit of an achievement.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I've seen old Randy Gandhi on the tube. I'm going to bag myself some Wellman. It's like three tablets a day, and yeah, they're massive.
So you've been taking kids' ones up to now?
Yeah.
And now you've decided that I feel ready for
adulthood. I've gone through puberty.
37 now, definitely do the older, definitely do the adult vitamins now.
Is it working, though? Has there been a notable sort of increase in your
wellness? No, I keep looking at them going, I'm not eating three tablets, they're massive.
Did you look at the children's vitamins and on the jar it said for 35 and under? I can't have them, anymore.
It's like a real card.
Yeah.
Randy Gandy.
Yeah. Never he looks well, doesn't he? He does look well.
I've never heard him referred to that in the history books. I
once played table tennis against him.
David Gandy?
Yeah, he was like playing in the Chilton Firehouse, of course. And he was like playing against a triangle. A big triangle.
Okay.
He was at pains to suggest that he wasn't just a model, he was also a businessman.
And a table tennis player, by the look of
and
it.
And a table tennis player.
If I was in the marketing company for a supplements and multivitamins company, I mean, David Gandy is a great guy to have. He looks amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
Somebody made the point
I can't
that
picture David Gandy.
He's very handsome. You'll have seen him on the tube.
Marks and Sparks pants.
Yeah.
In the file in your head,
yeah,
attached to the term handsome man, it's probably him anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Come for the football chat. Stick around for the David Gandy appreciation.
Love it.
Probably
indeed,
the first mention for David Gandy on this show ever. Yeah. I'd say.
David Gandy would sounds a bit like a footballer's name.
It
though.
Does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
David Gandy Wilson. With
it
the
does.
Hyphen in the middle.
Gentlemen, I don't want to drag it away from David Gandy at all, and I'm sure the listeners don't. But we do have a lot to get through.
You're legally obliged to do so.
Indeed,
people are literally pressing the 15-second skip at the moment. Yeah. Where's the Warlock bit? Where's Neil Warlock? He's coming up, Marcus, isn't he?
He is coming up. It's all coming up, ladies and gentlemen, and it's all coming up. Mike Dean, because he was in charge of Spurs versus Manchester United. That was the story there.
Man for the occasion.
It was a superb win for Solskjaer. Makes it 6 out of 6. They passed that test.
They did. Mm.
It does help if you cheat at the test, and the cheat was David De Gea.
David cheating.
David the save.
How was it? How was he cheating? Using his feet.
Yeah, it was.
Not allowed to use your feet anymore.
It was a below par gag, Jim. Solskjaer has equaled Sir Matt Busby's all time record of winning his first 5 league games
in
charge of Manchester United. They're up to 41 points, being at level with Arsenal.
So they won't go down.
I think Paul Pogba's had a great run as Manchester United manager. I think he's been no less than excellent.
He's shown his management chops.
Do you think he is? He's a bit like John Terry when Chelsea got to the. Well, they won the Champions League.
Yeah.
It was that season, wasn't it? Dean Taylor was in charge. Well, yeah. Terry, of course. And proving that he was the manager, he sat out the final and watched it from the stands.
Pete, are you suggesting that every Man United team talk ends with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer saying, or we could just do what you want to do, Paul? Yeah, should we do that? All
seems
right.
to be the case.
I tell you something, though. I mean,
hot off the press.
Well, what an assist it was from Pogba. But this was a much more mature performance. Yeah, De Gea made obviously a lot of saves. But it was much better. I worried on last Thursday's preview show. I was concerned. I thought Spurs might batter them. Jim, you seem to have a bit more hope for Manchester United and thought that they would rise to the occasion and put in the performance, and they did.
Yeah, I think it's just the reason Spurs battered them before is that they were playing within themselves and they were playing with a handbrake on. And I just felt that now that they've freed themselves up a little bit, they would go at Spurs in a way that is more befitting of the Man United of old, which is exactly what happened. But that's not to say that Spurs obviously didn't pepper them. De Gea, I mean, obviously we have to talk about how good he was. Like, there have been people saying, oh, you know, a lot of those shots were right at him. It's like, there were so many of them, though. There's so many saves that he made there.
I think the fourth save with his foot, he just stands up and just looks at the middle distance and goes, what are you worried about?
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's the best goalkeeper at saving with his feet I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, normally goalkeepers criticise for it. So I know you try and get down there with your hands. But
He clearly does it, Jim, because if he gets a good connection, because first of all, positionally he's superb, and Jermaine Genius covered that on Match of the Day and two and everything, but he's positionally superb, which means a lot more of the shots seem to be straight at him, and that's to his credit. That's not him being lucky, that's to his credit.
That's him reading the game.
But I feel like he saves with his feet when he can, because he knows he's going to get a better connection.
Yes.
If you think about your hands, they're soft, right? So if you parry, it's harder to get it out of danger.
Yeah.
With his feet, he can essentially ping it right out of danger.
Yeah.
I thought he was the examination he went through with Spurs, who, let's get it right, were the better team.
Yeah.
Spurs were the better team. Mm. And the examination De Gea went through, he passed brilliantly. And it was one of those, I shouted out loud in the living room when I was watching it, he's a brick wall. He's an absolute
brick wall.
I did. That's a good impression of me. It's a good impression of me, yeah.
I mean, there
he's
is,
a brick wall!
I do understand when people say that he should have made those saves. But I mean, in the same way, if a striker scores 3 goals and they're all tap-ins, he should
still got a hat-trick.
He's there. Exactly.
Isn't he? And with the onslaught. And as well, when he stands up to one or two of those shots, there is a temptation to go down and try and guess where the striker's going to put it. So he was great. There's no two ways about
it. Yeah, and also to sort of extend what Luke was saying, like when he makes those saves with his feet, they always, they you know, they don't go back into danger, do they? There's no hint of a parry. They're knocked way out back into just back out of danger.
Well, knocks into safety.
When he's on form like that, I know he's had possibly quite a difficult 2018, with Spain, and he's made mistakes over the last year or so. But when he's on form like that, and we've talked about it on this show before, how all keepers at this level are great shot stoppers, and we know that. But he has got to be. I don't think he's the best all-round keeper in the league, but I think he's the best shot-stopping goalkeeper. I mean, he just makes saves that you think, I'm not sure if any other keeper would have. And I'm not talking about this game here, but particularly, but just generally, you wonder whether other goalkeepers would make those saves.
He's a goalkeeper that wins you points.
100%.
Yeah, definitely so. But Manchester United, though, they played well in the first half, and it was fairly even. They had a couple of chances themselves, but Marcus Rashford took his chance superbly.
It was a great
finish. The ball from Pogba was delicious. Yeah. And the way Rashford took the touch and scored, it was the margin there was so small.
Yeah,
if he'd have missed that chance, you wouldn't have.
Well, Laurie's got his fingers to it.
Yeah, it was absolutely glorious from Rashford. I love Rashford. I think he's a lovely lad, and he's a great player as well.
You nearly slipped into Warnock there.
Yeah, he's a lovely lad. And he's British.
To hell with the rest of the squad. Yeah.
By the way, do visit Malaysia.
But it was interesting. Gary Neville said that Manchester United have got their counter attack back. Now this is from Sky Sports. In one of their articles or their match reviews, they said no team in the Premier League has had fewer counter-attacks than Mourinho's Manchester United this season. They were joint last alongside Cardiff and Huddersfield with just three. Solskjaer's United have had seven in the past two matches. No team has had so many counter-attacks since Solskjaer took over at Manchester United. They've gone from the worst counter-attacking side in the Premier League to the best. Mm. Neville always said under Alex Ferguson, as a lot of us noticed, they were a counter-attacking side. Mm. And with Ferguson obviously giving Solskjaer some advice, Solskjaer knowing how the run-ins of the club is and so on and so forth, you can see that sort of Manchester United DNA, if you like. Well, whatever
the shackles are off, though, aren't they, in many ways? I mean, it's just the way that Lingard was sort of disrupting play in the middle, and it allowed Pogba to go a little
bit
further.
But the counter-attacking can't be underestimated.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Jim, go on.
Well, I was going to say that, I mean, people are saying that, you know, Solskjaer is just there as a caretaker and, you know, X, Y, and Z, it won't last, blah, blah, blah. And is all he doing, is it just that he's bringing the fun back and the players are responding to that? But, I mean, that is a clear evidence of his methods being put into practice.
Well, the way they shot up shop when they got the lead, you know what I mean? Like, pretty much. I know they're a counter-attack side, but they really did go for... as soon as they got their goal, they were just like, oh, well, we don't have to counter-attack quite as much as we were.
But they've got pace.
And Lukaku was kind of isolated by the end of the match.
He was a bit, really. I mean, the thing is with what Manchester United have up top, they've got great pace. They've got buckets full of it. Mm. And with Pogba, with that pass, and we know what he can do with his range of passing, it makes sense to set up like that as well. And they're reaping the rewards of it.
The key point I thought Gary Neville made was that he said, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer picked the players who moved the ball quick, who understand that it's not that Lukaku, Mata, Fellaini, and perhaps even Fred aren't good players. It's just that they're more ponderous. So Pogba's brilliant at a lot of things, but he's very, very good at getting the ball in tight spaces and turning defence into attack, as we saw with that assist. Herrera can receive the ball in tight areas and move it on quickly. Matic is there for a bit of protection. And Martial and Rashford are just absolute flying machines. I'll tell you who Rashford... I'm completely convinced by Marcus Rashford now. I mean, if he can get a run in the team, and obviously that's another thing that Solskjaer's got to his advantage, is that because he's, in quotes, a caretaker, he's not really under pressure to play Lukaku if he doesn't want to. He knows Lukaku can be a streaky player. He knows the fans will get on side if he plays Rashford, because Rashford's a youth team prospect and very popular. But Rashford, that finish actually, and run and position he took up, reminded me of Ian Wright. It was an Ian Wright type goal, on the shoulder, in that bit of space. And then the finish right in the corner. It was like a textbook Ian Wright goal.
I can't believe
these words are coming out of my mouth, but I thought Spurs looked worse after Sissoko went off. It's like I'm speaking a foreign language. I'm not sure how those words are supposed to come out.
He's been important. I mean, he's done very well for them. You know, of course, Trippier gave the ball away for the goal, didn't he? And he's not having the best time this season. And Vertonghen doesn't look fit. They've got players missing. Kane hobbled off at the end.
I know.
Sissoko went off. So it's not getting any easier for them.
Kane gets an injury.
But that said, I mean, Pochettino said that half was the best half he's seen Spurs play. Now, I understand he's trying to partly speak to his team there.
Trying to lift them. Yeah.
But they, I mean, on another day, they're winning that game 3-1.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things. You come up against a Man United team, we've got their tails up, and we're used to seeing Man United like that. We're not used to what we've seen over the last few years. Mm. And it felt a bit like, if I was a Man United fan, I'd be waking up this morning thinking, do you know what? Let me dream. We might have our team back again.
Well, do you think Alex Ferguson is secretly managing them?
He's definitely been to the training ground.
Yeah, it shows you how good Manchester United are, or how good the feeling is now, because they're being linked with England's Gareth Southgate. Hands off our
dream
Southgate.
On.
Yeah,
that would be awful if he went there.
That would make Manchester United the ultimate baddie, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know.
Once again, where they were before.
Exactly. they need to get back to where they are. Excellent. Right, let's move on to Chelsea and Newcastle. Newcastle made Chelsea work for their win, but obviously and inevitably Chelsea got that win, and it was an important win for them. They hadn't scored in their previous two home league matches. They're just 1 point off Spurs now. Willian with a lovely winner. Oh,
it was a lovely shot. Myself and Luke were down at the ground watching it.
We were about 20 feet away from that goal when it went in.
Also Kieran Clarke's header. And when Kieran Clarke scored his header, he's now the second highest scorer of the season for Newcastle United with
wow.
three.
Uh-huh.
A central defender.
Yes.
I covered Luke in hot dog mustard.
Yes.
Which
is not a euphemism, is that right?
fill in the blanks as much as you want.
Well, I thought are blanks.
Why did you do that?
Well, I'll tell you why. I tried to steal the march on the queues at half time. I said, look, I'll go now. I'll pop down at about 35 minutes and get us a couple of pies.
the scene is so typically
yeah, cool. exactly, right? And I said, what are you having, Pete? No. And then they didn't have any pies, so I just used my initiative, got a couple of hot dogs. I know Pete will eat anything, so it didn't matter. So I got a couple of hot dogs and got him some ketchup and mustard. And then as he was halfway through his hot dog, Kieran Clarke scored. Everyone went mad and he covered my jacket in mustard.
Oh.
So then we had to
and
use...
And it's that new jacket that you're wearing.
This is the best tactical analysis you're going to get. Then we had to use Pete's water to wash my jacket. And then Pete tried to use his own quite nice scarf to rub my mustard off my jacket.
But that's what I'm
typical Donaldson. Yeah. Anyway, that game, the game itself, I don't know how you feel, Pete, and I got the feeling around, because we were in the Newcastle end, I got the feeling that Newcastle fans were just like, oh, you know, same as usual, typical us sort of thing.
I hope when you were in the Newcastle end, you were calling them Newcastle.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I just keep my head down.
Yeah.
When they started singing, "You fat Cockney bastard, get out of my club," I thought they were talking about me.
You were like, I'm from Portsmouth.
Yeah, I've only been in London for a year. But I thought it was a real missed opportunity for Newcastle.
Massively. I think there was a certain inevitability. I think they should assume that they get beaten and probably by that that amount of goals. I didn't think it was going to be a massive rout, but I did think that, better teams have gone to Stamford Bridge and been absolutely hammered. Mm. But yeah, you're right. I think they were sort of using, by the end, they were sort of using Cristiano as a target man. And it's so weird. It was quite weird to sort of see that Hazard is used as a target man for Chelsea, but in a very different way, because his first touch is so good. Mm. He can kind of play everything out of danger.
And he'll get it to feet, though.
Yeah, and Rondon is a target man because he's the size of a house.
Yeah. I don't think Rondon moved a lick after about 60. I couldn't,
60 minutes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe Benitez didn't take him off.
Yeah.
He took off Perez, who was largely anonymous, to be fair. He took off Yedden, who was willing. He was a willing runner. But he didn't make his third sub. But for me... you know, Chelsea play in a certain way under Sarri, and I personally think that they're too dogmatic. I think they don't play, they've not got enough about them. And I don't know if playing in such a sort of specific way all season is going to give you success in the Premier League. And I understand it's a competitive division and all the rest of it, but that's my opinion. I've said that since the start of the season. Benitez is a good, experienced coach. I think Benitez realised that they could get something out of this game, but the players on the pitch were just making, for me, consistently poor decisions. And towards the end, when Newcastle were pushing, it was 2-1, the game was there. They could have got a draw out of it. They'd already scored from a set piece. Mm. They've got Clarke, Lascelles, Lejeune's a big guy. Who else have they got? Rondon can head of the ball.
Box, yeah.
Yeah. They've already put the ball in from a corner and they scored. Richie's got good delivery. He's not playing with much confidence. He didn't want to sort of take players on, but he can deliver a ball. Last minute, they take a short corner. They've got everyone up there. They take a short corner to Atsu, who shoots from the edge of the corner of the penalty area, about 20 yards over the bar.
I don't think that wasn't a shot. Atsu's end product, whether he's shooting or crossing, it was just a really poor cross. But I think that was like the kind of like, well, that just sums Newcastle up at the moment. They just seem completely bereft of any confidence, and it's just I don't know, man.
But I like what they did.
They've done that exact same thing earlier in the match and they got absolutely hounded by the Newcastle fans. They did the exact same move, the short corner.
Yeah.
It didn't work. They messed it up. And then they did it again right then.
But the ebb and flow of the game is really interesting because they gave Chelsea far too much respect at the start. Mm-hmm. So Chelsea just knocked it around them. But the team that Benitez has picked, he's got three at the back and he had Richie and Yedlin playing quite deep to cover. Mm-hmm. And they had four across the middle, really, with Rondon. But of course, Atsu and Perez go a bit further forward sometimes. As soon as they worked out that actually there's not that much to be scared of with Chelsea, the second half of the first half, they were pumping. They knocked it around them. They played really well. They were at it. It just felt like a real missed opportunity for me. And I think Chelsea are too, for me, are too dogmatic, too predictable.
They need to change formation for Cardiff on Saturday. They just have to stick Kennedy up as second striker with Rondon maybe and just give Perez a rest because he's a £2 million footballer, you know, in the Premier League in 2019. It's just not good enough.
Yeah. Do you feel as well, with things like sort of lumping it to Atsu and some of the sort of slightly...
he's 5'3".
Yeah, well, exactly. Some of the sort of hesitance to make changes could be because it's quite an emotional occasion in a sense, because it's easy to forget that Rafa Benitez is an absolute legend at Stamford Bridge.
kickoff was actually delayed because of the ceremony about
well,
him.
Well, yeah, I didn't realise Chelsea sort of dimmed the lights. Like it's bloody SummerSlam, and they've got pyrotechnics and all that crap.
That's right.
I'll tell you what I would have absolutely loved if Benitez came out in this suit and he had his Europa League when there's men around. Cheers, everyone.
Thanks for the memories on
the Chelsea side, Marcus. I really felt like Hazard playing in that false nine position. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's clearly the best player on the pitch, and he's going to be that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't use him to the best of his skills and. I don't know about you, but I would like to see them play Giroud in that position and play Hazard deeper, where he can pick the ball up and run at players over and over again, because that's his skill set.
Of course, Giroud's hold-up play is very good, which should absolutely play into the dazzling feet.
He came on
for
like 5 minutes at the end, didn't he?
I know you sort of mentioned at the time it's probably due to an incentivized contract and you get your money if you play, but like I just think he's won the World Cup and now he's just a time-wasting sub.
It reminds me, Marcus, of when Sarri at Napoli wouldn't use Milik.
Yeah,
he wouldn't bring him on. He wouldn't play. He wouldn't go. Do you know what? We're playing a different type of team this week. Yeah. We're going to play Milik as a focal point. He won't do it.
No, I know.
And so he won't play Giroud.
It's a shame because at the start, obviously Chelsea were getting the results, and you thought that some of those Chelsea players will love the old Sarri ball. They'll get more of it. They'll like to run at players and whatnot. But you know, Hazard will surely go at some point.
Yeah.
And he's been saying this for a while, of course. But now Willian, you know, there's speculation around him. Now Hazard might want to take a leaf out of Willian's book, because Willian says, no, I'm happy at Chelsea, and so on and so forth. But Willian must be a little bit tempted with Barcelona, for crying out loud. But if they lose Hazard and Willian, then they've lost a lot there. But it'd be interesting to see how the, probably not this window, but maybe in the summer, how that plays out. I'd like to turn our attention to Rio Ferdinand. Mm-hmm. He said some silly things, of course. He said Newcastle are a yo-yo club. They should be thankful that Ashley put in a lot of his own money to the club. And I think Rio Ferdinand said something like, when Ashley put in all that money, Newcastle fans, it should be a thank you. He also said fans should be happy that Mike Ashley got Rafa Benitez in because they're lucky to have him. Pete?
Look, Rio Ferdinand is always going to be criticised whenever he talks about Mike Ashley, because people feel unfairly, in my view, that his opinion is somehow compromised because his clothing range is sold in Sports Direct stores. Bottom line is, Mike Ashley, for all his faults, he's invested millions of pounds of his own money into the club. He's given us 10 great years of football. And I agree with Rio, he should be saying thanks. And I think it's now time to take an ad break.
Get yourself some Donny's Duds.
Donny's Duds.
Hoodies, shorts, tabards. All with the unmistakable touch of class only your boy Petey can give you. Donny's Duds. Now available at Sports Direct.
And flannels.
I think Sean Longstaff was quite good in him, centre mid.
He was, yeah. Flannels. Good to hear it get a mention.
Flannels.
Doesn't ever get a mention.
Flannels.
I'd love it to be the Flannels Arena.
Yeah. So Ashley's coin has found its way in Donny's pocket.
Yeah.
There's only a matter of time before these two footballing behemoths meet.
Well, Ashley knows.
We've got the same drinking schedule.
Ashley knows that. and habits. Ashley knows that you're a man of the people and you can lead them into a revolt. So he thought, I've got to get Donny on side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, Ferdinand. What the bloody hell is he talking about? When Rio started...
Newcastle are a yo-yo club. They weren't before Mike Ashley.
They were a Champions League club, you dick. Yeah. When he said all that stuff, I was watching it going, Rio,
What are you doing?
Honestly, yeah.
I don't have to do any of this.
Genuinely, though, I think because the interview, I can't remember who it was, preceded
Jake Humphries.
Jake Humphries preceded it with the disclaimer that you were in the pocket of Mike Ashley. Yeah. I think he panicked and went, I'm not in the pocket of Mike
Ashley.
At the
very least, at the very least, he's got to do a Jeff Sessions there and recuse himself. I can't have a say in this.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing, though. When he says, no, I'm not in the pocket of Mike Ashley, and then goes on to suggest
sound very
strongly
much like he's in the pocket, that he is. Yeah. Like talking blabbering crap for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah. There was no,
it's the maddest thing anyone said about the situation all weekend.
Well,
yeah.
It was.
I can't
think
of a hotter take than this.
It was the maddest
prepare
thing.
Prepare yourself.
Until the right honourable Richard Keys waited.
Rio gets on the blower, little text. Keysy, help me out here. I'm getting a lot of flack here, mate.
Release some chaff. Yeah,
you're in Qatar, they don't care. Just fire something out with you.
Yeah, well, he suggested on Twitter that if Rafa Benitez loves the club so much and wants to sign players and whatnot, then Rafa should spend some of his own money. Now, I'm not sure if he meant to sign players or buy the club.
Yeah, no, he said buy the club. Buy the club and sign your own players.
Well, ultimately, yeah, one leads to the other. But, yeah. I mean, Rafa Benitez, I mean, even if he's on a few million quid.
I read about this. He has a net worth of £23 million.
Right.
Mike Ashley wants, is it £400 million for the club?
Like that.
Yeah.
And I think it was 300 odd million, and also he still wants to advertise Sports Direct all over the stadium.
Well, yeah. Even after he sold it. Wow.
I do. The thing about Keyesy.
There's so much to say on this, and yet so little.
Do you know, I find with Keys is that he has got so little idea of what the actual real world is.
Yeah,
that it's almost he could be replaced with like
hashtag
a Richard Keys. He could be replaced with a Richard Keys soundboard.
Yeah, like a bot.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it?
But do you not think he's just kind of going down that well-worn Piers Morgan reactionary? If I say something batshit, loads of people will be talking about me.
Oh, he's trying to keep himself relevant, but. Yeah, because Morgan wants to keep himself relevant.
But Morgan's got more self-awareness than Keyes.
He does. But Keyes, I think he is trying to keep himself sort of relevant and in the conversation. But I also think he genuinely believes all that as well.
Yeah, it's a strange sort of crossover, isn't it? Yeah. Sort of
he's your key to live sport, Jim.
He is.
So I'm a bit of respect.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
That was one...
He was extraordinary, Des.
Yeah. Newcastle have dropped into bottom three, though.
That's the takeaway from that. That's the salient point.
Why do you say though like it was a good thing?
More the fact that football, rather than all this Richard Keys and Rio Ferdinand nonsense, back to the football, they are struggling a little bit. Right, I think that's enough of that. Let's go to an ad break, and after which we'll be talking about West Ham and the Championship.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
It was extraordinary.
It wasn't it, just?
That take, Richard, was extraordinary.
Welcome back to the Football Ramblers. Now time for emails with Man of the People, Pete Donaldson.
Yes, hello to, have we got here? Callum from Watford. I just watched the Tottenham Man United game and Mike Dean is continuing to be himself. We talked very, very briefly about Mike Dean. Did you notice how he showed the yellow card to Dele Alli? He didn't even bother to hold the card with his
second
finger
and third fingers, yeah.
Second and third fingers, for nice. Yeah. Like he was Maverick in the film, Maverick.
There was Mel Gibson, of course.
Yes.
Another sort of Richard Keith type character. there was a decision that Mike Dean made in the first sort of 6 or 7 minutes to give a corner. It was Pogba against Alderweireld, I think, and it didn't look anything like a corner. It looked like a mad decision. They showed the replay; it just brushed off his Alderweireld's foot, and I thought that is top quality officiating,
yep,
Dean.
Yep.
Whether anyone listening here likes it or not, the man can officiate at a very high level.
Damn right.
And he doesn't take any egos because he's the biggest ego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The same way Jose Mourinho goes into a club and now I'm the big fish.
Yeah.
Mike Dean, he treats football players with contempt.
Yeah.
And in a way, is that what they need? I would argue possibly it is.
I mean, off you pop.
We didn't actually discuss
that
in depth. If anyone missed it, it was a Bournemouth player he sent off, wasn't it?
It's a second yellow, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he just said to him, off you pop. Yeah. As he sent him, off
Jim,
you,
earlier off this season...
Is popping getting easier?
Earlier this season, I think I might have mentioned it, but it's always worth going over very quickly. There was a incident in a game that Dean officiated earlier this season where two players came together, had a bit of handbags, and I'm 95% sure that I saw Mike Dean hold his hands out and go, chillax,
yeah,
chillax. If he's using chillax on a Premier League football pitch in 2018-19, you just got to hand it to
him. Bring in VAR to check it out, try and find out
chillax,
where he said it.
Yeah.
Chillax. Mic him up. this email is from Christopher Granby. It is more pretentious, guys, to keep trying to pronounce foreign words correctly rather than saying them in your own accent, guys. It makes no sense unless you are actually speaking in the other language. Most annoying is Luke's repeated use of Coupe de France when speaking about the French Cup. It is pronounced coupe. What you're actually saying translates to the arse of France. Pete was also doing this the other day, calling Arras Ara. It is pronounced Arras and highlights exactly why you shouldn't try and affect some knowledge. Elsewhere, French people are still calling London Londres and England Angleterre. That's from Christophe Gromby. Hi, lads.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah, I think you should.
You can do,
Christophe, you sound like the worst human being I've ever encountered.
Yeah. Mate. You've read some of these emails we get in.
I like a French person being rude to me.
Yeah, true.
I enjoy it.
Typical.
So, Christophe, more of it, please.
Graham's emailed this in, and I'm not buying this. Sorry, Graham, but I'm willing to be proved wrong.
This is not another FA Cup suggestion.
No. Hi, all. I tried a new pub this week for the United Spurs game. Two important things to report. There was a man in the pub who brought his own yellow and red cards. Whipped out the cards from his back pocket when he thought Dino should do likewise. I mean, surely the back pocket is only used for the red card.
Yeah.
Pete, would you say that doing the emails on this show, you've detected generally, now I know things always go through the net,
yeah,
but generally you've detected, like, you've got a good bullshitometer.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty good.
You're telling me you don't think this is bullshit?
No, I think it is bullshit, but I thought I'd bring it to the tail because I quite enjoy the image of it.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Fair enough.
He agreed with the star man on each occasion and did it with as much gusto as the man himself too. Box popped up on the big screen just as Pogba switches to Rashford. Skybox about to shut down, press back up now. The bar staff responded quickly and got it down to about 2 seconds, but Marcus had already done his job and the whole pub missed the goal. Anybody else missed a crucial goal this way?
I've definitely had it when I've been watching the game at home or watching sort of two or three games in a row and
a reminder's come up.
It's like an environmentally friendly thing, isn't it?
I remember watching it was Sampdoria against Arsenal in the Cup. Is that Highbury? It's the other way around. And my dad turned the channel over to wind me up and he turned it back over and Ian Wright had scored. So
that's annoying.
Yeah.
You tell how annoying that is because you still remember that.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Very frustrating.
But thank you for that email, Greg. If you want to get to the show, shortthefootballramble.com.
There it is. Right, back to the Premier League. West Ham United. Great win against Arsenal. Declan Rice's first career goal ever. Sami Nasri.
Yeah,
with the assist of
narrative. Narrative.
Yes.
It's actually a really nice goal.
It was a lovely goal. He was 14 when he joined West Ham's academy.
Do you know where he joined them from?
Oh, Rice. Was it Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah. Not good enough. Would he be in the team now if he's still at Chelsea?
We don't. A young player, absolutely not.
Jim, we don't know.
There is no chance of that.
We do know, and the answer is no.
Well, if Declan Rice wanted to play for Chelsea so much, why didn't he buy the club?
Yeah, true.
All right, and then become the manager and pick himself, Jim. Yeah. You idiot.
Up front.
It's not me that you have to take that up with.
Definitely put yourself on pens. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, he said he was delighted to score. And he said his teammates were delighted that he scored as well, which was a lovely admission because it all seemed to suggest that from the footage.
Do you know what? We saw in the post-match, and we'll give Jim his ranting time in a minute, but in the post-match interview, it was Mark Noble and Declan Rice.
Yes.
And what really struck me was the best side of Mark Noble, where he was genuinely so pleased, so happy for Declan Rice, talked about how hard he works. There was a genuine affection there for him. And I think because he loves West Ham as well, Mark Noble, he wanted to see a young player come through and do well. It was just lovely to see.
It's the West Ham brotherhood.
West Ham have had a great weekend because it was all finished off with goals on Sunday with Mikel Antonio on it, who I don't think enough is made of how cool he is.
Yeah, he hasn't scored a header for a while.
No, he hasn't actually, has he?
Yeah, so get that supply chain sorted out.
A bit of stick from the home crowd, actually.
Was he?
Yeah, a few crosses he should have done better with, maybe. But generally, I mean, the frustrating thing about it from an Arsenal point of view is I don't even really think West Ham were that good. They didn't really need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a fairly tight game. Arsenal, Xhaka's header was a little bit sloppy to allow Rice to have that opportunity. But there are plenty of players around that should be dealing with that, and they should be dealing with it better. But the problem is they just had no answer to it. Once they went one down, with the pattern of the game, I just thought, I don't know how we're going to get back into this, because I mean, obviously a lot has been made about Mesut Ozil and the situation behind the scenes there, but regardless of, you know, of whether you're playing him or not, that role is falling to Alex Iwobi at the moment, which is quite the drop off.
Isn't the problem, Jim, that in an ideal situation, if Emery isn't convinced by Ozil and what he offers the team, then he has him on the bench and he brings him on for 20 minutes at the end for exactly that situation. But Ozil, I don't know him, but presumably his ego means that can't happen. Ozil wants to start every game, wants to play. So we've got in this situation where he's not even taking him in squads to games.
Yeah.
So he's got no one there to bring off the bench.
Yeah, Mkhitaryan's out as well would be the obvious replacement.
Exactly. I was surprised that he didn't start Torreira.
Yeah, Torreira needs a rest though.
Right.
He's been a bit leggy of late, so that wasn't that surprising to me. But
they lacked a creative spark.
They really,
there's no
really
doubt.
Did.
And when you have Ozil there, you think to yourself, well, is he the man? But Emery clearly thinks he is not the man.
Lacazette was actually dropping back, particularly in the first section of the first half, and playing that role, and playing it fairly well, but that seemed to sort of drop
but it's
off.
It's not his role,
game,
though, is
no.
it? I mean, you know, they've got some good forward players at Arsenal, there's no doubt about that. But in a game like that, where it's a bit gritty, and you're up against an opponent who've got their tails up, they score, and
you're dressed like chewing gum.
And you're dressed like chewing gum.
Yeah.
and it was a record attendance, a home attendance for West Ham as well. So, you know, the ground was had a bit of a better atmosphere than we've come to expect at the London Stadium. So when you're down a bit like that, Arsenal need some sort of creative spark and something, because if West Ham don't make an error, they need that. And I look at the Arsenal side and I just think they are lacking that. And Ozil, you would think, was the man, but it's not happening really. And it looks like Ozil will be moved on some point. Maybe not in this month, but perhaps in the summer.
If they can find anyone to take on this giant wage.
Well, this is it, isn't it? This is the issue. And I think as well that, you know, because of that, that's made things like Aaron Ramsey's contract very complicated. I obviously don't know the ins and outs of it, but it's had a knock-on effect of what the club can spend on wages elsewhere. So
him in Fortnite loot boxes.
That's a good idea.
A bit of Fortnite, doesn't he, old Ozil?
Why doesn't Ozil join Arnautovic in China? Has he gone yet, Arnautovic?
No, apparently not.
That'd be a big
loss. Why doesn't he join an esports team
That's
to play
true.
Fortnite?
Yeah, well, you can do that. You can do that in China.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Arnautovic went, or he left West Ham, it would be a hammer blow.
Good,
thank you very much. Yeah. He was the hammer of the year last season
it.
As well.
Yeah, it was worth
but
it would be a
big loss because he's been brilliant. He was their player of the season last year, and they would certainly miss that presence up front.
But I might be sort of wide of the mark here, but with the money that West Ham are throwing around now, could they get an upgrade on Arnautovic anyway? I mean, he doesn't really score a huge amount of goals.
Well, I mean, they bought him for what, 20 million, was it? And you'd be getting, I think you'd pay a lot more than that for an upgrade on him.
But
he
doesn't score many goals.
Well, the problem, true, but the problem as well with Arnautovic as well is, you know what type of character he is. When he's motivated, he's very good, and he looks like he could kick on and be something quite special. But I would not be surprised at all if now he's had his head turned and he wants to go to China, and if he doesn't get that move, his form just falls off a cliff because he's not interested
anymore. If he wants to go and they can get the money, get rid of him and go and get Giroud. That's what I think.
Poor Olivia. He's chucked around a bit.
Yeah. Don't get Giroud. I mean, he'll play every game for West Ham.
Tell you something.
It'd be brilliant.
Or you could even actually offer for Morata. Because he's not playing it.
Yeah.
Why? Again, he's not playing that much.
Morata's either, presumably
Morata
on
Morata won't tough. Go. Giroud will. That's
okay,
my that's
enough.
My take. That's
get,
my take.
Get a big vat.
Just call
of DP.
Me Richard Keys, guys. But that's my hot take.
Okay. Get a big vat of DP and dip Andy Carroll and he can, in it, and he yeah. can be the new Giroud,
like a paraffin wax type coating.
yeah, it wouldn't
Carroll
work.
Come off the bench. He featured yeah. in this game. Closed it out for him.
Yeah. Let's move on to Leicester City losing at home to Southampton. Shane Long with his first goal. Since last April, I would have wanted to see where that ball would have ended up had it not taken the touch off the keeper.
Have you seen the stat that's doing the rounds? That,
the last four goals he scored?
Yeah, that all been under different managers.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Nice. Yeah. Like that.
Blimey. Southampton played the whole of the second half with 10 men. That is a great win for Southampton.
Yeah.
Down to 10 men away against a better side. It's huge, and it shows you Hasenhüttl is very much having an effect there. They are a point above the relegation zone, old Saints, and results went their way. By and large, and maybe they...
Leicester are such a funny team.
They are.
I mean, they've got that performance in their locker. Yeah, but then they lost to Cardiff, and they lost to Crystal Palace, and now they've lost to Southampton at home.
Well, Puel's under pressure again. There were boos from the home fans.
It was a really sad Puel out.
Yeah.
It looked like it had been torn out of an old cereal box.
I sort of feel...
An old lady.
Which yeah. cereal was it?
Crispy Crunches.
Okay. Honey Nut Scooters.
Honey Nut Scooters.
I thought it was a shame.
M80s.
Yeah, it's a shame for Puel because... I know. I mean, I'm sure Leicester City fans will be able to tell me why they want him to go.
What do they want?
Exactly. But Southampton fans, it was the same there when he was doing okay. I mean, are they currently eighth? They're in that pack of teams that includes Watford, West Ham, Everton and Wolves.
Realistically, the best they can hope to finish, realistically, is seventh.
Yeah.
And they're currently eighth, 1 point off seventh. Now, I understand no one likes to lose against a relegation candidate at home. But these things happen.
Yes.
For every when you're a Leicester City supporter, for every win you get against Man City, that's going to happen sometimes. Everyone, for 90% of clubs around the country, you're going to get those kind of results. I just don't think I've yet to have a convincing argument from a Leicester City fan about what they expect. And because to me, it doesn't even look like. I mean, I suppose you could argue they could score more goals. I mean, they've only scored 26 goals this season.
Well, the lowest scorers in the top 10, but they have the fifth joint best defensive record in the league.
But forget the top 10, though, Marcus, to be fair, because the top six are miles away.
Yeah.
That's miles away. So I don't think it's realistic to compare them against a Liverpool, Man City, Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United in terms of goals scored.
Now, but I said top 10, not top...
I know, but those teams are included in the top 10. Leicester City won the league a few years ago. We all know that. We all enjoyed it. But I don't know if that should really be informing people's opinions.
But
what do they want, though?
Well, this happened with Puel at Southampton. It's a similar thing.
Because he's very quiet.
Do you think it's just they're not enjoying the football as much?
Well,
the experience isn't...
It has to be something to do with that, definitely. Because, as I say, Southampton had that.
Yeah.
So, I know what you mean with Puel. I mean...
I think Leicester are so used to things being an absolute roller coaster
yeah.
that, like Claude Puel, who was sort of like the absolute epitome of like a safe pair of hands that will steady a ship.
They're just like relegation.
Maybe they would rather that.
Title. Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. But
do you guys not see it as a similar situation to what happened with Stoke City under Tony Pulis? It was like we're finishing every season, and we're staying in the Premier League, but we don't like going to watch Tony Pulis teams. We want to change the manager.
Yeah, I think they might
well be that.
And they've been relegated.
Well, the difference is Pulis was there for a long time. But yes, I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. But
it's not an easy thing, is it, to stay in the top eight of the Premier League and play great football?
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But Southampton, though, they are on course now to stay up because they're out of the relegation zone. Can they pull away? Newcastle obviously lost. Fulham lost. Cardiff and Huddersfield drew. So results did go Southampton's way. I think you'll agree, gentlemen. although, of course, Huddersfield denied a penalty.
What was the big talking point from the Cardiff game?
Well, it was before the Cardiff game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was old old Neil Enoch.
The Enoch, yeah.
Neil Warlock power.
When you see and hear what he said, and you know, you can get into the politics a bit or any kind of stuff, because it's not that type of show, but when he's saying that with everywhere emblazoned in the shot, Visit Malaysia.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like thick of it stuff.
And a dressing room like full of people from everywhere.
Exactly.
To hell with the rest of the world.
to hell with the rest of the world.
I mean that seriously, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is absolutely extraordinary, isn't it?
It is, Des. It is extraordinary.
I understand that everybody is frustrated and laughing and all the other sort of emotions about the Brexit deal, and we don't need to go into that. But I did think to myself, Warnock, what are you doing?
Well, and the thing is, And rightly or wrongly, people who have that type of attitude would be portrayed as older men who are white, right? And so to that extent, it fits the bill. I'm not passing opinion on that, but that's generally how they're typified. But you think that someone who spent his life working in such an international sport, in such an international environment, would have a bit more of a nuanced take on it than that. But then having said that, I've seen his teams play football, so maybe nuance isn't his strong suit.
I mean, he tries to make all of his players, whether they're foreign or English, play the English way, so it's fine.
Play the English way circa 1990, before the World Cup.
Damn right. Let's go down to Neil Warnock's own old stomping ground, the Championship. Leeds United, they beat Derby County. Naughty, naughty Leeds. espionage at Ellen Road.
Brilliant.
The club made a formal apology to Derby after they spied on Derby's training in the build-up to this match. Frank Lampard said the police turned up at their training ground. There was a man looking over a fence or something like that. Bielsa wonderfully admitted that he sanctioned the spying. He said it was all his fault. He said that without trying to find a justification, I've been using this kind of practice since the qualifications for the World Cup with Argentina. Pochettino thought it wasn't a big deal and said it happens all the time in Argentina, coming to the aid of his own countrymen there.
Reports suggest that Bielsa strong-armed his daughter's boyfriend into doing it for him.
Is that who it was?
Magnificent. And I think his son-in-law's now a manager. I think he might be the youngest manager in Argentina. Right.
I was hoping it was like a new relationship. And this was a test.
Yeah, right, here's what you're going to have to do for me.
Do you think, I mean...
I think there's been a lot of hand-wringing and a lot of over-the-top stuff about this. I mean, I was saying to you guys before we came in, it's not the case now, actually, but you go up to Carrington, where City and United share their training ground. You used to be able to walk on a public footpath right past where City trained. And that, in fact, that's how that Balotelli fighting on the training ground under Mancini thing got into the papers, because everyone could just watch it. So it's definitely a history of it. And I also believe that in Europe and from what people are saying in South America, it happens as well. I don't know if it's the worst thing in the world, really. There's no law against it.
You have a responsibility to protect your own training gown. You're on training.
But the other thing about it, Pete,
confuse and wear different masks.
The idea that coverage on Sky for the ahead of the game on the Friday night with Keith Andrews and someone else in the studio, I forget who it was, they were going way over the top about it, and it's almost a bit like, you know, it's in the spirit of the game. You shouldn't be cheating. Listen, we all love a game where we watch it every week, where people throw themselves on the floor to try and get a decision, try and get away, call every decision they can, even though they know it's not theirs. They walk over the other side of the pitch to waste 45 seconds when they're being subbed off. The spirit of the game is essentially meaningless, really, if you want to drill down into it. You know, I think it's been the reaction to it has been way over. I don't know how you guys feel.
I think you would be surprised. I don't think anyone would particularly be surprised to learn that I reckon most clubs have leaks in their thing. Like, just say a Championship coach.
It wouldn't shock me.
What's he on? 50 grand, 60 grand a year? If you want to make an extra 20 grand a year and just, you know, and just tell all and sundry what the hell's happening in your dressing room, I would not be surprised if people were on payrolls of other clubs. I would not be surprised. I'm not saying that's definitely the case. I just think that...
I don't know about payroll.
How would that even work?
It's going to be InfoWars again.
I understand where you began. I'm not agreeing where you finished.
There will be moles. There will be moles in dressing rooms. That's all I'm saying. In most clubs of around about that level.
Tim Fall hat.
And there's a great book. I've been reading a lot of John Le Carre.
What do you think about it,
Mark? I think it's a bit naughty to spy, but as you said, Luke, some of these training grounds can be quite open. I suppose you do that on the premise that people aren't going to come and say, I mean, there was a story in Italy, wasn't there? I think it involved Sampdoria. I can't remember if they... it was a story in Italy where someone was caught up in the hills where the training ground was. There's a sort of a hill with forest nearby. Mm. And this guy has got a great picture of it where he's wearing camouflage gear and he's caught red-handed doing it. Mm. So clearly this is seen as a bit of a naughty thing in other parts of the world as well. Is it a big deal? I mean, what did he spy them on the Thursday? The game was on the Friday night. Mm. I mean, is that really going to change?
Just start putting your star striker
Is that going to change Bielsa's opinion enormously?
He's been doing it every game.
But isn't it, in a sort of moral sense, isn't it like playing poker and trying to sneak a look at someone's cards and then just going, well, if you don't defend your cards well enough, then...
I think that's what you mean.
I think it's one of the things. If you get caught doing it, it is a little bit embarrassing, but I don't think you should bring in all these sanctions.
I just feel like there are laws of the game, right? The laws of the game exist. We all know them. And you know, to a certain extent, referees interpret them. We talked about that before. But if you're going to go down the road of talking about, in quotes, the spirit of the game, gentlemanly conduct, all that kind of stuff, then you need to turn your opinions inwards and look at your own team. Because every single player, I remember being, as a kid, you know, being told, you know, if the referee's not sure, he's going to give it to whoever shouts the loudest. And being openly told to try and appeal for things that weren't for me. Everyone does that all the time. We saw it, mate, at Wembley yesterday. You know, who was it who came off? Jesse Lingard? I can't remember. Might have been Pogba. Pogba walked all the way over the other side of the pitch because he knew he was getting subbed off. That's not in the spirit of the game if you're going to go down that
road.
But
often people talk about the spirit of the game in this country will then listen to, as we have done, somebody like Terry Butcher telling a story when he was playing for England, the referee turned his back and he's, you know, headbutted an opposition player and caused this guy to actually bleed profusely from his forehead. And obviously the whole room kind of chuckles and Butcher tells it in a certain way. And don't get me wrong, the way he tells the story is amusing. But essentially he said, oh, well, I've committed probably what would be classified as GBH against some bloke. And I'm like, hey, you know. But no one ever questions that in the spirit of the game.
Would we send Pete Donaldson to the offices of Football Weekly to get a steer on their running order? Yes, we would.
Yeah.
Mate, I look like everybody in the world. They wouldn't even know I was there.
Exactly. That's true. You are the archetypal spy for another club.
I know.
Although your feedback would be confusing. It would be difficult to make heads or tails of it, but you would get the job done.
Well, there were definitely players. They were running around on the pitch and stretching.
Yeah.
That's
and funnily enough, over there, they've got an oval shaped ball. You've gone to the wrong place again.
Not the Falcons. Newcastle United.
They're going to confuse us again with that. But yes, Leeds move 4 points clear at the top of the league.
The actual match itself. I don't care how much spying was happening.
Yeah.
They got well and truly.
What about Jack Clark for Leeds?
To be fair to Frank Lampard, he did say, use that as an excuse. We were terrible to
them. It would piss you off.
Really crestfallen, didn't it?
Yeah, it would piss you off if another coach was spying on your.
He made quite a good speech before the match as well. He said, look, whatever happens, win, lose or draw, I think it's dreadful, blah, 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 and he should be strung up.
We like old lads. What about Jack Clark, though, for Leeds?
Yeah.
18 looks very exciting.
He does look very. They've got a lot of good young players.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good young players. We look forward to maybe seeing them in the Premier League next season. You're going up, Leeds fans.
Well, I think Leeds fans...
Enjoy your week on Twitter.
I think Leeds fans think they're going to get a points deduction and therefore not go up.
Yes.
What, because of the spying?
Yeah. which I think is fanciful.
Yeah, that's
personally.
I don't think that.
Reading beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. Important win for Reading. Aitor Karanka has departed ways with the club. Martin O'Neill, at the time of recording, hasn't confirmed it, but he looks set to go back to his old side.
About 20 years too late.
Yeah.
They've all been waiting for this to happen. The whole of Nottingham has been on a holding pattern for Martin O'Neill for years.
I'd love to know what Forest fans are thinking at the moment. There was speculation for a while about Karanka. He was told by the club that they needed to be in the playoffs by the end of the year. They were seventh. Many of the fans seemed to want him to stay, and they did spend a lot of money for Forest. I understand that, and there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I think at the moment that we're not too sure about.
There's talk
that clearly
Karanka
a falling out, and there was because he left. He wasn't.
He wants to, there's talk of him wanting to go and assist Mourinho in Mourinho's next job.
Oh, is that right?
That's the talk. I don't think it's true, but that's what people have been saying.
Glutton for punishment. But Forest fans were certainly, or some of them certainly were sad to see him go. And the last time Forest completed a whole season without a change of manager was in 2010, 2011.
That is dreadful.
Every calendar year.
I mean, you're talking about 20 years too late. On that basis, I fancied a bit of Frankie Clark.
But why? Yeah.
Where is he? Where is he, Peter? You're our Frank Clark correspondent. Where is he?
I've not seen him.
All right.
Why didn't like Djukanovic or Carvajal fancy it, or even get the offer? I can't figure that out.
Martin O'Neill knows the Forest DNA.
He's one of Nottingham's Forest favourite sons.
He knows the DNA of the club.
It used to be the murder capital of Great Britain. So solve some crimes.
He'd be loving it.
Oh, he likes that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Not murder. The exactly. Yeah, we should make that very clear. Hull City beat Sheffield Wednesday 3-0. The last time they lost in the league, Hull City was on the 24th of November. They've won their last six. Are they going to be the Championship side that goes on the mid-season surge? Jim Campbell, you.
Well, it looks like it based on that form, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
I think Hull, having had a couple of stints in the Premier League as well, do you remember they came up and it was mad?
Yeah.
Like when Wigan came up. I think they now believe they can do that. I think something like that, if you get a run in the Premier League and you stay up there, it changes something about the mentality of a club and it gives you a real lift in this sort of running.
It certainly does. Yeah,
I feel like it was only 3 or 4 months ago we were openly mocking James Horncastle for Hull City being terrible. Now they're really good.
They're doing all right.
It's turned around so fast.
Jared Bowen is doing very well for them at the moment. Yes,
I enjoyed the Chef Web manager, Steve Agnew, saying the third goal killed it off. Well, it was 30 minutes from time, so yeah, probably.
Do you think Hull City, they're enjoying their Nigel Adkins diet, aren't they?
Big time. No carbs.
Absolutely. Ipswich Town got away. We've been quite disparaging of Ipswich Town a little bit in the fact
because they're an awful football team.
There's that as well, and they haven't won the derby for goodness knows how long, but they got a good win against Rotherham United. It was a big win for those Tractor boys.
Well, they needed it, didn't they? Because Rotherham were one place outside the relegation.
Exactly. Yeah. Only their third win of the season, Ipswich Town. 27 matches.
Bad, isn't it?
Three wins after 27 league matches.
And Paul Lambert in charge.
Lambert's lads are 7 points from safety. Can he do it? Silence speaks volumes, ladies and gentlemen.
No, absolutely. They're awful.
It's sad to see. It's not a laughing matter either.
Why are you casting your net for that nonsense?
I'm certainly not doing that anymore. All right, let's go to an ad break. And after which, we're going to mention Sol Campbell. See you in a moment.
I can't wait to get out of them, if I'm honest. I think we'll be far better out of the bloody thing, mate. And to hell with the rest of the world.
EU is not perfect, was not perfect, is not perfect, will not be perfect, but it's the best idea we've had so far.
It's the best idea we've had so far.
Differing opinions from very differing men. The previous show, sponsored by Bet365, will be with you on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. So we all look forward to that very much so indeed. And of course, we need a new better, so get your emails in. League 2, Grimsby Town 0, Macclesfield 2. Another win for Big Sol.
Another win. Sol man.
He is. They're 3 points from safety, although Yeovil have two games in hand. But Andy Cole is set to team up with Campbell at Macclesfield as a strikers coach.
Yeah, he's in a couple of days a week, isn't he?
Yes, that's right.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
That was his song, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes.
Back when footballers released songs.
Yeah.
And that was when he first unveiled himself as Andrew Cole, I believe.
Is that now right?
But in seriousness, it's great to see him working again. Yeah. Andy Cole, he's had a very difficult time post-retirement, and to see him back doing what he loves to do is great.
He's had a liver transplant, hasn't he?
Yeah, has. What a load of experience he's got for a club, you know, the size of Macclesfield. It's fantastic.
Him
to have Sol Campbell. It's brilliant.
I want Macclesfield to fly up the table.
Absolutely.
A little bit more money. If they get promoted and all the rest of it, another big name coming.
I mean, let's make it absolutely clear. They're not going to get promoted. I mean, that is not going to happen.
Sol's there for the long run, isn't he?
I hope so. I really hope he does well.
I hope he gets them out of
it. In like October and November, they were getting pumped like 4-5-0. Like, or 5-1. And 12 points from 19 it was. Now it's 11 from 8.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
It's very good. And an away win as well for a side who are down there. Any points on the road is big. But to win away from home and keep a clean sheet, you know.
I know it's not a great indication, but I remember back in September them getting hammered by West Ham in the League Cup, wasn't it? And they looked, I mean, I know, they got, I think they got beat 8-0. Mm. I know they're a League Two team and West Ham are a Premier League team, but similar to what you're talking about with Burton, you know, there are ways of going about things. I know it's easier said than done, but at that point you were like, oh God. But yeah, Big Sol's giving them a lift. I'm sad that a player of his experience and of his experience and his talent has had to go so far down the Premier to get a management job. But good on him for doing it. It's not easy down there. If he gets them out of it, good on him. That's what I say.
Damn right. Damn right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we end the show by opening the WhatsApp group.
We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Welcome to the WhatsApp group.
Does that change every week?
No.
Is that the same as last week?
Yeah.
I put Four Non-Blondes in there.
Four Non-Blondes.
Poison in my mind.
That's in your mind.
Just the one story, because it's such a wonderful story. Kazuyoshi Miura, a.k.a. King Kazu, the former Japan international, has signed a new contract with his Japanese second-tier side, Yokohama FC. What's the big deal about that? He's 51 years old.
Yeah.
The old one-year extension. We don't give 50-year-olds 2 years, we'll give you 1 year.
You get the impression now that someone's going
like
to have
the Arsenal policy.
Yeah. You get the impression now someone's going to have to retire for him.
I think
It's almost like he doesn't know that he can stop.
It's so good. I mean, he broke Sir Stanley Matthews' record in 2017, becoming the oldest professional football player to score a goal. Now, we often see players in the twilight of their career finish international football.
Yeah, a bit of James Milner, a bit of Jamie Vardy.
Well, make sure to extend your playing career. He quit international football 18 years ago.
And one thing that's
very impressive stats, 89 caps and 55 goals.
And one thing that goes underplayed about King Kazu and why he's maybe not so much of a household name as we'd expect is because he fired Japan to World Cup 98 and he scored loads of goals in the qualification, and then he was left out of the squad controversially. And so I think it perhaps, because that World Cup was so great, perhaps if he had featured in that World Cup, It would have been a different story.
Yeah, and of course he wasn't there. He'd retired when 2002 came along.
By the way, if you're still good enough to play professional football now, you should have played in 2002.
No, it's a bit of a shame, but there we are. He only played 9 league matches last season, all coming off from the bench. But when I say only, I mean he is in his 50s, so it's rather impressive. I like this, though. He said, I think I want to go face-to-face with football and go to daily training with maximum power.
Good for him.
That's a definite like translation, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
When I read that thing about him in 98, I was angry because Japan in that World Cup, I checked, they scored one goal.
I know.
Get him in there.
Get him.
He's still playing at 51.
he was playing at Santos and Palmeiras at like 86.
He has a fascinating career.
He went straight to Brazil at 15.
He moved on his own. He moved on his own.
He was born in 1967, the summer of love.
Love
wow.
It.
I mean, there you are. But yes, he started his professional career in Santos for Brazil. As you say, he's played in Italy, Croatia, Australia. Remarkable.
Mm. He's outlived like leagues.
Yeah. By goodness, King Kazu. Still playing football. Mm. Love that, ladies and gentlemen. And that is where we're going to end the show. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been a bloody pleasure. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Go thank yourself.
I will do. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.